Welcome to this sermon by Dr. Bruce Martin, pastor of Village Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Now let's prepare our hearts as we listen to what God would have us learn today.
Valentine's is a special day. All the feelings that you heard in that song are feelings we have for each other. But can you say that those are the same feelings that you have for Almighty God? The Bible says that we're to love the Lord just like that. With all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and all our strength. And we're to love Him because He first loved us. What a day Valentine's Day is. I tried to find out the origin of Valentine's Day and I was quite surprised that I found four different stories. No one quite knows what Valentine's Day is all about. Here are the two that I like most. Legend has it that there was a priest who served in the 3rd century Rome, where Emperor Claudius II had given an order that he had decided that single men were better warriors than married men. We'll debate that later. And he ordered that none of the soldiers get married, but Valentine married them anyway. And he was arrested and eventually was killed for marrying people. So he was the love priest. Another legend had it that Valentine was imprisoned and fell in love with the jailer's daughter. And before he was put to death, he sent her the first Valentine, and he wrote her a letter and signed it, "Your Valentine's," as well as sending her flowers. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. But I say this. We need to say that Jesus Christ is everybody's Valentine. Amen? And He's there to be that kind of love. He wants that kind of living, loving relationship with every one of us. Now let's understand something. If this is a love day, it's also a day to relight the fires of love. Valentine's is a day when you say again the things that you've left unsaid, or maybe you say it in a fresh way. I read the other day of a little boy and a girl who had found their mother and dad's old love letters in a box in a trunk in the attic. And there they were reading their mom and dad's old love letters when suddenly the little boy looked up and he said these words, "These are not the names they call each other now." Somebody needs to relight a fire. One man said, "My wife's gone through an evolution. She went from hard to get to hard to handle to hard to take." Somebody needs a fire relit. One lady said, threw a hen out. She wanted a new sports car for Valentine's Day. So when her husband said, "What do you want for Valentine's Day?" She said, "I want something that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds. So he bought her bathroom scales. I think it's time to relight the fire in that marriage. Guys, you're in deep trouble. You say, "Well, Pastor, what does love look like?" Well, isn't it interesting that the best description of love in the Bible was written by a single man? It's written by Paul the Apostle. And as I read this, 1 Corinthians 13, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that this is more than a description of love. It is also a revelation of the heart of God. You see, He's just not telling us what we're supposed to do. He's revealing what God does. And sometimes when we read 1 Corinthians 13, we miss that point. It is a revelation of the heart of God. So let's read it from that perspective. And as we read this, let's start with verse 8. He's told us what love, the power of love, and what it does, and why it's important in verse 1 through 3. But when he comes to verse 4, he says this, "Love is patient and kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. I want you to have a refresher course this morning. And we studied love before, but on Valentine's Day, let's have a refresher course on what love is. And the first thing that I want to say, especially to our young couples and our young people, something that our senior saints will tell you, and that is that love is a journey. It's not a destination. You never arrive. But it is a continuous journey, and it's a journey of ups and downs. Sometimes you have more ups than downs, and sometimes more downs than ups. But it is a journey of ups and downs. When I think of the journey, I think of two people in the Bible on the journey of love. First was the prodigal son. Did you know notice the prodigal son started out with, give me love. Father, give me my inheritance. And pretty soon it became, forgive me. He started out thinking he deserved everything. Love was centered around what he wanted. And your job is to fulfill my wants. Well, folks, that's baby love. That's prodigal son error love. But then he grew up and said, Father, I don't deserve. He learned that he didn't deserve anything. And when he learned that, he got more than he could expect to deserve. He got his father's love. You see, love was a journey for him. And it was after going through the valleys that he understood the value of his father. And it's sometimes when we hold our hands together and go through the valleys that we learn the value of the one we love. Here's another love story in the Bible, and I think it's the greatest one of all, besides Jesus and the cross. And that's the story of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were commanded not to eat the fruit of the forbidden tree, but Eve took the fruit and she ate it. And there they were. She was in sin, and he was not. And what could Adam do? He knew God had commanded, the day you eat this, you're going to die. And she had brought a death sentence on herself. And Adam took that fruit, and he joined Eve in death. Folks, I believe that that is one of the supreme stories of love that we've overlooked in the Bible. When Adam bit into that fruit, he knew he was accepting death for his wife. And I believe that we need to understand what love is. Love is three things in the journey. Let's understand three things about love. Number one, the journey of love. First, it's a long journey. Second, it's a learning journey. And third, it has to be a God-led journey. It's a long journey. It's a learning journey. And it's a God-led journey. I believe that love matures. And it's a long journey of growing up and growing together. You see, kids, you think you've grown up, but you've never grown up until you've gone through hardship and you're still in love. It's a matter of growing up and growing together. Did I tell you about that old couple that came in the restaurant in the mountains of North Carolina? They came in every morning and ordered breakfast, and he ate first and then she would eat. He would eat first and she would eat. He would eat first and then she would eat. Waitress was a liberated woman. She was angry that the wife was eating second. So one day she asked the elderly lady, she said, "Why do you eat second?" And she said, "We've always agreed that Pa will get the teeth first." Now listen. When you can share your teeth, you've grown together. Amen? That's love right there, folks. But it's growing together so that life is united together in one single purpose. The two shall be one. It's a lifelong journey. Number two, and today we're not seeing lifelong journeys. Number two, it's a learning journey. It's learning to let love cover a multitude of sins. It's a learning journey, folks. It's learning. You see, you start off, and the other day I was sitting in a chair in the living room in one of those cold, cold, cold days. And I said, "Brittany, can you throw me a throw or something to put over me?" And, I didn't want to go. See what a wonderful wife I have? She went and got me this handkerchief. It wasn't a handkerchief, but it was. She threw me this thing. She said, "Put that over. That'll keep you." And it wouldn't even cover my feet. And I said, this won't keep me warm. I said, throw me a blanket or something. I'm cold. Well, I realized something, that a lot of times when we get married, our love is about to sign. It doesn't cover anything. Love covers a multitude of sins. Well, folks, if you can't stretch it over a sin, you don't have love, do you? You see, love not only stretches us, love enlarges us. And that's why it hurts. Because at the very point where love hurts you, that's where you're growing in love. And so many people recoil from the hurt aspect of love. They come to me and say, Pastor, we want a divorce because he hurt me. Well, Jesus hurt on the cross, but he still loved you, didn't he? God's love stretched beyond the cross. And if God's love can stretch beyond that cross, this cross right here, then can't our love stretch beyond that cross too? You see, it's a learning journey. It's learning to stretch. It's learning to be larger than the hurt. Because that's what God's love was. Love's a journey. It's a long journey. It's a learning journey. But more than that, it's a God-led journey. Abraham and Sarah were led by God together. And I love that part where Sarah laughed. God said to him, you're going to have a child. And she was old. And she laughed. She couldn't believe what God would do for her. She didn't have the eyes of faith. Let me tell you something. I think it's important, if we're going to have love in our lives, that we have eyes of faith. Oh, when we walk up the aisle, we have eyes of faith. But over the years, we lose the eyes of faith. And when God opened her eyes to what He could do, she lived that day forward with eyes of faith in God and in her husband. And today, as we come to this church, one of the most important things you can do is to open your eyes of faith. Well, open them again. See what God can do, not what He has done or she has done. What can God do? Stretch His love over it. Did I tell you about the couple that decided they wanted to fix their marriage by having what they called a fault box? You know what a fault box is? His and her fault boxes. So during the week, if she saw him do something that made her irritated, she would write it down and put it in a box. And if he found something that irritated him about her, he would write it down and put it in the box, fault box. All week long, they wrote down what irritated each other. And on Saturday night, they sat down to open the fault box. And he opened his box. You threw your socks down and didn't pick them up. Or you left something out and didn't help me with the housework. And one by one, he opened those notes, all the things he had done. And she opened her box. And she pulled out that first note and said, I love you. And she pulled out the second note and said, I love you. And she picked out the third note and said, I love you. And every note in her box says, I love you. See, the guys are always better. So I love you. And love had made that difference. And you see, that's why God gave us His love. It's a journey of love. Of every day applying what the cross has done in your life. And so as we look at love, first of all, is a journey. Second of all, love is outrageous. Have you ever noticed? Did you notice what he says here? Love never fails. It doesn't boast. It's kind. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not angered. Keeps no record of wrong. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love's always forgiving. Never gives up. Love is outrageous. When's the last time you did something outrageous? Not for yourself, but for your love. Do you remember the story? Napoleon, who had sentenced a man to death. And according to the story, the man was sentenced to death. And he was going to be hanged when the church bell rang the next morning. And everybody had gathered for this solemn execution. The man was on the gallows. They were waiting for the bell to ring. But when they pulled the rope, it didn't ring. And they pulled the rope again and it didn't ring. And they pulled the rope and the bell didn't ring. And that man's wife had crawled up into that bell tower and she had put her arms and herself around that great big clapper. You know what a clapper is? And so instead of it hitting the bell, it hit her. And she absorbed the blows. When she could hold on no longer, she fell down to the bottom dead. And seeing that, Napoleon pardoned that man because he had not seen such love like that. It was outrageous love. Outrageous love that Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross. That's why we nail our hearts and our praise and our love for Him to this cross today. Because His love was absolutely outrageous. And that's why we love Him. And I want you to know something. When your love becomes outrageous, that's when your spouse will love you guys. Not only is it outrageous love, but number three, it's relentless love. He says here, love never gives up. It's relentless. It never quits. It stays with it the whole time. Satan will try to do four things to your love. Write them down. He does four things to try to get you to give up. Discouragement, weariness, selfishness, and pride. Now think about it. Satan will do his best to try to get you to give up. Discouragement. That's the biggest. We get discouraged in one another. Weariness. We get tired. Selfishness. Well, I just need to take care of me. And pride. Well, he's hurt my pride and embarrassed me. And I want to tell you something. He'll do his best to try to get you discouraged and to give up. But you see, if love is anything, it's got to be relentless. Now, I'm going to tell you something I've seen with my own eyes. And I want you to learn this lesson. Never get this lesson out of your mind. In the 1950s, in my house, we had a record player that played 45 RPM records. How many remember? That's the iPod of the 1950s, kids. 1950s iPods. 45 RPM records, you know. And we had stacks of 45 RPM records. I mean, they would. We loved music in my house. And on the weekends at our weekend house, we would go and we would put on, when you walked in the door, they would put on a stack. You remember how that used to go? You put on a stack, and one by one, they'd fall down and play. And so we'd put on a stack of records, and we'd just grab a stack and put them on. And then when they stopped, you turned them over, and then you grabbed another stack. So you never knew what was going to play. And my parents had all the latest records. I mean, we just played all the cool stuff. And I remember this. There was one record that changed my parents' attitude, no matter what it was. It was Sam Cooke, one of the singing cooks, John. Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke with that velvet voice. You send me. How many of you know that song? Darling, you send me. At first I thought it was infatuation, but oh, it's lasted so long. And now I just want to marry you and take you home. Darling, you send me. Now, my parents could be fighting. They could be disagreeing. And Mom could be over here and Dad could be over here and I could be watching NFL football in between. When Sam Cooke came on saying, you send me. And when that music reached my parents' ears, they would come together in that living room and start dancing. And it was almost before my eyes, I could watch the world go away. Remember that one? Make the world go away. And you could see that whatever had been between them melted. As they would dance together to, darling, you send me. And folks, I want to tell you something. Let me just say this as an aside. When I come into this worship service on Sunday morning, I know when I'm worshiping God, when the world melts away. Amen? I'm not here to sing songs. I'm here to say, God, make the world go away. And when I'm captured by a song so that the world goes away, that's worship, folks. And I believe that's what people are hungering for. Now, I say that for this. If you don't come to church and worship God, when in your marriage does the world go away? When, if you don't read the Word of God, when, what melts? What melts the world? I'll tell you what melts. Worship. Praise. The Word of God. If this Word doesn't melt what comes between you, then what's the value of the Word? If the cross and looking at this cross and pinning your prayers to a cross and your love to a cross, if that doesn't make the world melt away, then what in the world does? I believe that every marriage should have something in it that does to that marriage what happened to my mom and dad, that melted their hearts together as one again and kept them on track. Make the world go away. And so that's how you get relentlessness in a marriage. Love's a journey. Love's outrageous. Love is relentless. But listen, love, number four, is infectious. I believe love has to be infectious. He said love hopes all things, believes all things. Love infects the other person with something that's good. I want to share with you something God gave me this week that I used in the funeral on Thursday. Barbara and Phil O'Brien. Barbara passed away, and as I was preparing her message, God gave me a word that I had never, ever, ever considered before. And I know it was from the Lord. Years ago, I know you can't tell it now, but I used to run in races. I know. I've got pictures. Trust me. I got the numbers still. And we used to, me and my friends, and after church, I was at Elon College, First Baptist, and bunches of us would run after church. We'd run 10K, and we'd just meet after church and just run. We'd go in the country and run. And then we'd go to these races and we'd run. And for some reason, as I was preparing that funeral, I thought about running and Barbara finishing the race. Paul says, I've run my course. I've finished the race. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And I realized something, that when you run a race with friends and you finish ahead of them, I never did. I was always in the back. But you finish the race and then you turn around and you run 100 yards back or two to see your friends, so that when they're coming up and they're tired and they're worn out, you start saying, come on now, you can make it. You can do it. Not far now. Don't give up. It's okay. It's not that far. Come on, and you run along beside them saying, it's okay. You can make it. The wonderful thing about God's Holy Spirit and God's Word, it is God running alongside of us saying to you, and He's saying to this church today, hey, you can make it. There is a solution. You can do it. And I said to Philip, I believe Barbara's up in heaven right now, and for the rest of your days, she's going to say to this family, it's not long now. It's not far now. We're going to be gathered one day in glory. We're going to be praising Jesus Christ. Come on, don't give up. Keep going. Stay faithful. And that's the kind of infection that we need to say, hey, let's stay back on track. Let's give it back to Jesus again. Let's come back to this altar and come to this cross and say, Jesus, infect us with that new passion that we had when you brought us together as servants of your holy name. It's got to be infectious. It's got to change us constantly. And then last of all, love. Love is the greatest blessing in life. Love is our greatest blessing. Jesus didn't die to give us a religion. Jesus died to give us a relationship. And that relationship is a relationship of love. He wants a close and a personal and an intimate relationship with all of us. A relationship that makes us like Him. One of my favorite old authors is Frederick Buechner. who made up some amazing Christian stories. He was a Christian writer who could come up with some strange tales, and I enjoyed some of his strange stories. One day, Frederick Buechner told about the guy who had a terrible scar on his face as a child. Had an accident, his face was terribly marred, and somewhere in life he found a mask that he would put on, and he wore the mask. And people began to laugh at his mask for a while, and so he moved to another city where they didn't realize he was wearing a mask. The mask became such a part of his life that people didn't see it. And one day, as he was living his normal life in this city with his mask on, and so nobody could see who he really was, somebody from his old town came and said, "Hey, that's not the real guy. He's wearing a mask." And people were appalled. They didn't know he was wearing a mask. And so they said, "Take your mask off." And there's that scene where he removes his mask and his face has conformed to the mask. And the mask is really his face now. And Buechner's point there is this: we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put Him on every day. We put Him on faithfully. We put Him on in love. And we put on Jesus Christ, and it's not long until we start looking like Jesus. Amen? It's a journey of love. And the journey that He's given us is a journey of loving His Son, Jesus Christ. And we put on the Lord Jesus Christ because this man who died on this cross died in so that we could be redeemed. When Stephen Brown's brother died, Stephen said, "I was devastated. My brother was 40 years old, had two kids." He said he died, and he said, "I was in a daze." The whole funeral, he said, "I was in a daze." And he said, about a week after the funeral, he said, "I wanted to go to my brother's grave." And Steve said, "You know, I forgot where it was." He said, "I went to the cemetery and they didn't have a marker on it yet." And he said, "It was raining like crazy." He said, "I couldn't find my brother's grave." And he said, "I stood there in the rain and said, 'What a terrible month this has been. I lost my brother. Now I can't find his grave.'" And he said, in a moment, in a flash, as he stood in that rain, he felt a presence come up to him. He said it was Jesus Christ. He knew it was Jesus. And he heard Jesus say these words, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" He said, "I walked out of that graveyard." He said, "My brother lives because he accepted the love of Jesus Christ." This love is a love that will never let you go. Amen? If you'll let that love into your heart. And I'm going to ask you today, if you're here today, if you've never let His love into your heart, you don't know what love is. And I'm going to ask you to let that love that was crucified on Calvary for you and raised the third day to come into your heart and crucify you, but to birth new life in you. The formation of Jesus Christ. Would you receive that love today?
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Village Baptist Church. If you would like to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do so right now. Simply bow your head right where you are. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and become the Lord of your life. Please do this today. None of us are promised tomorrow. We would love to hear about any stories, decisions, or feedback that you would like to share with us. We trust that you have been blessed today. Hope that you will join us again for our next service at Village Baptist Church.